Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
If we haven't met before, and if you missed my introduction earlier, my name is Dan Karotz, and my wife and I, we are the location pastors of our Oxford Falls location, of this location. And Kaylee sends her love this morning. She is currently up in Byron Bay with her sisters, celebrating one of their birthdays. And she just texted me earlier. She's at Watergoes Beach, going for a little dip in the ocean as we speak or as I preach this morning. And so she's left me. She's left me with the three kids, preaching at all three services today. Don't know how that's going to work, but we're just going to make it work. And I think it must be a little bit of payback for all the early morning sound checks, the late nights, writing songs and being in the studio and all that. But she sends her love to you this morning. But hey, we are in week three of our consecration campaign. And today I have the great joy to be sharing on the very exciting topic of repentance. Now, I don't preach a whole lot throughout the year, but it just happened to be today, you know, on this topic of repentance. But I love that today, and this message has been titled "The Gift of Repentance." The gift of repentance, and it really is that, isn't it? That when we miss the mark, that when we fall short, that when we do wrong, that through repentance, we can be made right with God. And so before we dive into that this morning, to really set this up, I first want to share some of my story in relation to this campaign that we're in particular what we're going to be diving into shortly and talking about today. But I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up in church. I went to a Christian school. One of the stories in the Bible that relates to me most is when Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And his disciples respond. Some say you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're one of the other prophets. But then he goes on to ask this question. He says, "But who do you say I am?" And there definitely came a point in my journey where I had to answer that question for myself. Not do what my parents think, not do what my peers and friends think, not what do my youth leaders think, but what do I believe? When I was 16 years old, my good friend Simon French, who is the son of Greg and Julie French, and his cousin Matt Crocker, and if you've been a part of worship teams or you know your worship music, Matt has written many songs that have been sung all around the world for the last decade or two. And Simon, Matt, and I, we started a punk rock band. And we would almost every week get together, write songs, and we ended up recording a number of those songs. And back in the late 90s, what I like to say, late last century, existed a music television station by the name of Channel V. It no longer exists today, but in its time was a well-known music television station. In 2001, Channel V had a competition where bands or artists could send in recordings of their music in the hope to be discovered and in the hope to sign a record deal. And so Matt, Simon, and I, we partook in this competition and we cut a demo and we sent it off. And there were 5,000 bands that entered this competition, 5,000 bands from across Australia and New Zealand. And we got a phone call shortly after saying that we'd made the top 100 of this competition. And we later found out we were the youngest band who had entered this competition, and we were all in our mid-teens at the time. And I remember praying and saying this to God: God, if music is what you want me to do with my life, then give me a sign. I literally prayed that prayer word for word as a 16-year-old. And a couple of weeks later, we've made the top 10 of this competition. And at this point in the competition, the channel is really focusing on the remaining artists. And I guess in a very similar way to say The Voice or Australian Idol, but well before those shows existed. There were two prizes to be won. There was the winner, in which the judges picked. And then there was what was called the Viewer's Choice Award, who the public voted for. And turns out we won the Viewer's Choice Award. The band that won the competition was a band that consisted of Joel Houston, Marty Sampson, Luke Munns, and Mike Chislett, who are the original Hillsong United band. And this was back before, you know, Hillsong United even became what it is and what we know of it as today. And so at this point, you know, things started to open up for us, and we're getting opportunity after opportunity. We're performing regularly, we're traveling, we're touring, we've got interest from record labels, etc., etc. And for time's sake, I don't have time to go into further detail. If you're free tonight, I am preaching the same message in our 6 p.m. service, and I'm going to be talking a bit more about it. And I got some photos and that I'm going to show, and we can all have a laugh at my expense. But about 18 months in and after, something started to happen in my heart. And something didn't feel quite right. And I wasn't quite sure what it was. And I was quite confused, because I'd prayed the prayer: God, if you want me to do music with my life, then give me a sign. And I wrestled with this for quite some time. The call of God is wording we would typically give to God's plan and purpose for our lives. And there's truth to that. But the call of God is more than that. What is the call of God? It is a call to God. It's less about what you will do and more about what or who you are called to. Who you were called to. And so something was happening in my heart. And it took me some time to work it out, but it was God. And long story short, as much as I loved music and had dreams and aspirations, I gave it up. And I laid it down with no ambition of ever going back. And I just said yes to God. And to put it frankly, I fell in love with Jesus. And I went to Bible college for 2 years here at church. I got involved in our youth ministry at the time. And I just sold myself out. And I've been all in ever since. And if you'd ask me, well, how did you get back into music and on worship team, leading worship and writing songs for church, I honestly don't know. Over time, it just kind of happened. And there was a need, and I was asked to help. So I did. And I did whatever. And still to this day, try and live by that. And I eventually got involved in our worship team here at church. I started leading worship, writing music, writing songs for our youth ministry at the time. And then our church and movement, and down the track would come on staff, and now have been doing this for 20 years this year. I have learned this, that consecration isn't just a moment, it's your life. It's a living a life of surrender. And I've had many moments just like this. 8 years ago, I had a tumor cut out of my throat, out of my vocal cords. By tumor, it was nothing cancerous. It wasn't life and death, but it was life and death for my vocal cords. And I remember waking from the surgery and the doctor saying to me, look, I don't know if you'll ever be able to sing again. I don't know if you'll ever be able to speak properly again either. I wasn't able to talk for a couple months. I wasn't able or didn't sing for almost a 3-year period. I was then later diagnosed with a neurological voice disorder called spasmodic dysphonia. And it's a condition where the nerves in your throat involuntarily spasm, creating a whole lot of vocal tension and problems. Long story short, again, after much prayer and declaring the word of God over my life, while doing all I could in the natural and seeing voice therapist after voice therapist and doctor after doctor, I eventually got back singing and leading worship again. Appreciate your applause, but that's not the reason I'm sharing this. It's what God did in me over that time. And this was another moment of surrender for me, trusting in God. Something I say to our worship team on quite a regular basis is, we are worshipers first, worship leaders second. Really important we get that around the right way. You might not be a worship leader, but you can still apply it to your life. You're a worshiper first. You're an IT consultant second. You're a worshiper first. You're a graphic designer second. You're a worshiper first. You're a lawyer second. What does repentance have to do with consecration? The word consecration means to set yourself apart. So whether it be repentance for a wrongdoing or something we've made an idol of, repentance realigns our heart to God's. Repentance realigns our heart to God's. And as we have been over the last couple of weeks, and we've been in the book of Isaiah, and if you got your Bible there or your device, I want you to open to Isaiah 30. We're going to look at verses 15 to 20. And just to give it some context, the people of God, they were being attacked by the Assyrian army. So they turned from the Lord and they put their trust in Egypt. And how often do we do the same? when the pressures of life come or when the blessings of life come, whether it be intentional or something we slowly drift into, with misplaced trust, we rely on money, career, status, people. We turn to things to try and fill that void. And so let's pick it up here. Verse 15 of Isaiah 30, it says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and trust is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses, therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses, therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five. You will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. So in other words, out on your own, vulnerable and exposed. Then verse 18, this is the bit we're going to really hone in on this morning. It says this, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, He will answer. So first thing I want to say is this. God longs to be gracious. And if we can put verse 18 back up on the screen behind me, God longs to be gracious. And we literally see it, or it literally says it here in verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. So God is full of grace, compassion. He is just, and his desire is that we will be blessed, that you will be blessed. So it's who he is. He can't help it. So much so, look at this in Romans 5:8, it says this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Psalm 103 verse 8 says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. I used to be slow to anger until I had kids. Slow to anger, abounding in love. Does this then give us license to do whatever and to live however? Well, Paul answers that question in Romans 8 with a big fat, of course not. The point of God's kindness, and we read about it here in Romans 2 verse 4, says this, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. What should make repentance easy is God's kindness. Have you got the revelation of God's kindness? We've got to first get the revelation that God is kind. The Bible says that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, yes, brings conviction. And conviction should lead us to repentance, but condemnation is not of God. Condemnation is not of God. I've heard it said before that condemnation pulls you away from God. Conviction brings you closer. Condemnation is not of God. Bible says that nothing can separate us, can separate you and I from God's love. There's nothing in the heavens above, in the earth below. There's no angel, no demon, no situation, no circumstance, no sin too big that can keep us, that can separate you from God's love. You are only one prayer away from forgiveness. And maybe for some of us here this morning, you're only one prayer away from salvation. And it would be my greatest honor and privilege to later on in this service to lead you in that. Repentance is necessary. Repentance is necessary. And it's necessary because it's the only way. And that's offensive to our pride. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So repentance is necessary. Acts 3:19 says this, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Luke 13:3 says this, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, catch this, you will all likewise perish. Quite a confronting passage of scripture there. Romans 3:22 to 24 says this, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Don't be fooled. Don't be thinking that just because I'm up here with a microphone behind a pulpit that I'm any less of a sinner than you. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Throughout the Bible, repentance and the recognition of sin have been key to acknowledging the lordship of our God and for healing. And for healing, Isaiah 1, verses 16 to 18 says this, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter. And then look at this. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. How amazing is that? Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another or to each other and pray for each other. And here it is, so that you may be healed. So part of the healing journey or even the forgiveness journey is confessing our sins to one another. And you're not meant to do life alone. This is why we have connect groups. Confession is not simply the admitting of guilt. It's meant to give us a new focus. It's so that we can keep each other accountable. And I want to ask you this question here this morning, and I want you to go away and be pondering on this and to be asking yourself this, but do you have someone in your life or people in your life that you are being vulnerable with in sharing your struggles with? It is God who supplies forgiveness. Confession brings healing. Confession brings healing. And maybe I'll get the worship team up here with me. Speaking of healing, okay, repentance is key in seeing healing, in seeing revival come to our city. And we have a vision as a church, as C3 SYD, and that is Sydney, a city for Christ. And it's been our vision for God knows how long, decades long, and probably ever since our church started. And that is our vision. That is what we see. We see this city coming to Jesus from the north to the south, to the east, to the west. And I wasn't planning on saying this, but do not underestimate the power and the importance of the church getting together and worshiping. It is so much more than just singing songs. What is happening in the spirit realm when we gather and we collectively, when we sing, when we worship, when we lift the high praises of God, do not underestimate the importance and the power of the church gathered and the church worshiping. In the Old Testament, the incense burning at the temple could be smelt 20 kilometers away. It could be smelled in Jericho, of all places. And you'd understand that when we gather, when we sing, when we worship, we are releasing a fragrance. We are releasing an incense into the atmosphere, into our city that can shift the spiritual atmosphere of Sydney. That can shift and crack something open in our city. Do not underestimate the importance and the power of gathering and singing, worshiping, lifting up the high praises of God, what it does, what it releases, and what it unlocks.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.